Bulldog Live here on the Pulse at 1-866-823-1077, and you can join the conversation at any time as we have a lot of things to get to today and hopefully get to some stuff that's on your mind as well. But first, right now, I want to talk more about the Northern Pass Project, and I gave you a little brief, and it was a very brief summary, as to what the New England Power Generators Association did. They had a study that was done about the basically the economic impacts of the proposed Northern Pass project, and the study was very interesting. It evoked a very swift and terse response from Northeast Utilities in trying to say, "Well, these are competitors, so what do you expect? You know, there's no truth to this, so let's just move on." No, I read the study this weekend, and it is very detailed and very interesting to follow, especially a lot of the conclusions in it. And that is exactly how much money could you, the ratepayer, expect to save if Northern Pass Project is built? And I think the summary is rather, well, we'll just say the results are staggering, to say the least. Joining us in studio is Sandy Henneken. She is from the New England Power Generators Association. Good morning.
Good morning. How
are
you?
And good, good. And Jim Monahan is joining you as well.
Morning.
And Jim, tell us about what your role is.
Well, I work with the DuPont Group, and we are the lobbyists for the New England Power Generators Association.
Okay.
So we help them out at the legislature as well as the regulatory agencies and state government.
All right, very good. So I think the last time we had both of you on, we were talking about Northern Pass, but particularly with the eminent domain fight. And, you know, that was several months ago. That was a very good turnout. House Bill 648 passed, signed by the governor. Also, most recently, a study commission. Senate Bill 361 was signed by the governor last week to mandate studying the possible burial of transmission lines along state-owned right-of-way. So quite a lot has happened since we had you here last.
Definitely.
But looking at this study, very interesting. I think what I think was very interesting to point out is looking at Northern Pass's own economic figures against today's electricity costs. There's a big disparity there between these numbers.
There is quite a difference. And what we did is we took the Charles River study and we asked the PA Consulting Group to look at it and say, you know, the world has changed a lot in 2 years. Gas prices are much lower than they have been before. This spring, we saw record low electric prices here in New England. So we asked them to just use all the same assumptions, but just use an updated gas price forecast. So we used a 2012 instead of a 2010. And what they concluded, whereas the CRA study said, you know, we might see a 2 or 3% savings if this line goes in, what we found is it probably won't even be half of that. And so it leads us, NEPCA, as we looked at the study and we looked at the results, it led us to conclude, why would they want to build this? Where's the economic rationale? And the only way that we can see it working is some type of subsidy. Either the province of Quebec gives them a subsidy, or more realistically, that they seek a subsidy here in the States. And one of two ways, either getting large-scale hydro qualified as a renewable resource so they can get the RPS credits for it, or seeking an above-market contract. We don't really see any other way for it to work economically.
Yeah, and you touch on something that was hotly debated in the legislature about a little over a year ago anyway, and there was a proposal to do just that, put large-scale hydro projects in the renewable portfolio standards, and that was a lot of concern. That was actually one of the very first pushbacks, I would say, against possibly, you know, the Northern Pass Project, although the sponsor of the bill said this had nothing to do with it.
Right.
You know, hundreds of people showed. I've never seen so many people pack a committee hearing
room.
Right.
It's Senate Bill 302, and it was really the first time the orange people, as they call themselves, the folks in the North Country that opposed the project, really swarmed the State House and really put a
That bill was promptly withdrawn by the bill prime sponsor, too,
day. It was. And I think that was one of the first examples of where this project, when it was originally rolled out, looked, you know, cheap and green, and the realities began to focus on it. That it's controversial, and now it appears to be economically troubled as well.
Yeah, and looking at this now with the gas prices today versus 2 years ago when Charles Rivers Associates did their study for the Northern Pass project. A lot has happened in the market over the last 2 years.
A lot has changed. I mean, I was thinking about a day like today when it's really not very hot out. I mean, the prices are probably – we talk about the historic lows. I'm mm-hmm. sure we have some historic lows today. I mean, the world has changed quite a bit. One thing I would want to just talk about for a second is when we talked about changing the renewable portfolio standard, yep. while that has been a big issue in New Hampshire, I spend a lot of time in all the state houses. Actually, I'm heading to Connecticut tomorrow. And what we see is it's not as much that it would happen in New Hampshire. It's that Connecticut and Massachusetts, some of the other states where, frankly, I think a lot of the power is being targeted to. Yep. Those are the states where there's some serious efforts and discussions underway to change the RPS. I don't think it's as much right now. And Jim, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think it's as much an issue in New Hampshire right at this moment. But Connecticut and Massachusetts, definitely.
Yeah, I think the controversy around the project has got it to the point where provide a renewable energy subsidy from New Hampshire ratepayers is a non-starter in our state house. But New Hampshire is only about 9% of the market that they want to sell into. The real big change that they'd have to make would be in Massachusetts or Connecticut to create a subsidy. Now, that has the potential to have lots of consequences in New Hampshire as well. We've got a robust renewable energy, local renewable energy industry, the biomass plants and
yes.
hydros, is wind and solar developing, not so much solar but wind. If they start getting knocked out of the marketplace by Canadian power, have the economic impacts in New Hampshire, I think, would be felt.
Well, and looking at this, I think this study even touched on it too, the jobs, what kind of jobs would be created. Your organization, the New England Power Generators Association, did a study on just that claim not too long ago, and a lot of those same issues appear to be echoed in this as well.
That's true, and I actually think we might have talked about it when we came in and visited with you
last time.
The study, and a lot of the jobs that their study said were going to be created were jobs that were more short-term, temporary jobs. And our study found maybe half of those jobs would be created and that they wouldn't be permanent jobs.
Mm-hmm. And let alone how many of them would actually go to New Hampshire residents, too.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's another concern. But looking at the study by the PA Consulting Group, who are they?
They're a consulting firm that's they have an office in Cambridge. They have several other offices. I believe the person who helped us with the study had at one point worked at Charles River, so really was familiar with their methodology. But again, I note that we didn't really change. I mean, there were places where we said, well, we might have made a different assumption, but we thought it was very important that it was an apples-to-apples comparison, but with the updated gas numbers. We thought that really was where we wanted to focus our efforts.
All right, I got it. And looking at this study, Jim, what has been what have you heard back already from a number of people you've spoken to?
Well, I think the feedback has been a few things. First of all, like you, folks have recognized it's a pretty dense study.
Yeah,
but that's important because in some measure, it was prepared to be used as part of if the project does move forward and state and federal regulators have to look at the economic impacts of it, you need a study like this to make sure that the proper record is created.
Uh-huh.
But in general, I think people say, yeah, that makes sense. We all know that the price of natural gas has dropped over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we also haven't seen any prices put on the Northern Pass project for the last couple of years. And so there's a logic, even though it's dense, there's a logic to it that when this project was proposed, the energy prices in New England were higher than they are today, and so you have to question whether or not economically it makes sense to, put a 138-foot-tall scar down the middle of New Hampshire.
Exactly. And looking at that, you touched on something, too. There has been no prices put on the Northern Pass project as to what this would supposedly save the average consumer. They've never given us an exact dollar amount. In fact, they just insist on using the term competitively priced power, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Right. Well, I think, and this is one of the other conclusions of the report, is that when you take a look at what's going on around these projects, it's not just Northern Pass. There's also a new line in Ontario where Quebec sells power in that, and a line that's going down the middle of the Hudson River where they'll be selling Hydro-Quebec power as well. And I think that one of the conclusions Bill Babcock made in the study is that probably what they're doing there is they want to make sure that they have lots of different pipelines to the United States and Ontario so that they can get the highest price for the power. It's probably not a good business model for them to sell it at the lowest price all the time. The real business model for them is to, whenever possible, sell it when the market prices are really high.
So the study goes into that one, that scenario too, looking at the Champlain Hudson Express, which is an underground wire to go from the Hydro-Québec facilities down in New York mm-hmm. City. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Northern Pass project thrown in there. So they could just be looking and say, oh, gee, where's the power? Where are we going to make the most money? We'll just direct the power down one of those lines, assuming that they're using the same facilities, right? Mm-hmm. Or are they also assuming even the construction of a new facility, a new hydro dam? I don't think it includes the construction of a new dam. I think it's from their same sources.
Right. And then – so in addition to the Northern Pass and the Champlain-Hudson project you talked about, there's the existing Phase 2 line where they're currently selling electricity.
The one that runs down through Vermont, right?
Correct.
Down
yep.
into AR Mass.
Right. And then a sizable facility into Ontario where they sell power from Quebec to Ontario. So there's lots of different avenues for the power.
Even that one too. Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
And so, again, deep in the study, one of the conclusions could be – but this could be important when the Department of Energy is looking at alternatives and whether or not on the past needs to be built at all, is that when you look at those other outlets for the power, an argument can clearly be made that you really don't need the Northern Pass. Hydro-Québec might need it to make more money, but they don't need it even to just get the power out of Quebec. There's lots of different avenues for that.
Yeah, and looking at this too, because it questions the cost of whether Hydro-Québec would make money on the Northern Pass project. Because I've seen some statistics that would say, yeah, Hydro-Québec would make a ton of money because this would be their line for their exclusive mm-hmm. use. So, you wonder if that is the case, why would they even want to consider building a project if they're not going to make that much money on it? I wonder if they've come to some of these same conclusions too.
Well, they're not being really transparent about that.
Okay.
Right.
So there's really a couple of different things to look at. One is Hydro-Québec, they make the electricity.
Yep.
The Northern Pass project is really Northeast Utilities. They're building the transportation network for it. And so there's a lot of activity on the trying to get a site for the transportation network on it. Nobody's built a tower or dug a hole or put a wire up yet. It's still, lines on a piece of paper. And so they're building financial models around that, but really haven't rolled out, as you've said, pricing and the real business strategy behind it.
Well, let me go one step further on that, because if Hydro-Québec, they're not going to build it to lose money, that's for sure. So up goes the price of the power, right?
And that, again,
wouldn't that be a reasonable conclusion?
It leads us back to where we don't see how it happens without some type of subsidy, something. And that goes back to kind of our central point of where we've had concerns, is that we want to compete, we seek a level playing field, and we feel like they're trying to kind of change rules not to have a level playing field. And this just reinforces that perception, because how else does it all make sense?
Well, we'll hear from the Northern Pass people saying, oh, we're not looking for subsidies for this project. Well, just like they said, they weren't looking to use eminent domain, when we know very right well that the threats were made. So same thing. Sandy Hannikin and Jim Monahan joining us here on Bulldog Live. Sandy from the New England Power Generators Association. Jim representing them too as a lobbyist before the New Hampshire legislature with the DuPont group. What were some of the other conclusions of this study?
Well, I think one conclusion or one concern, we actually had some different policy questions that we think kind of came out of this, and I think we've touched on some of them. What happens with this to local jobs, taxes, future investments? Another question is, what about reliability? Going back to what Jim was talking about, if there's all these different lines, And if you assume that they want to maximize their profits, which, of course, who doesn't?
Right.
How do we know that on any given day, if we're planning and our planners are planning that this is going to come to New England, what if they decide it's better to send it to Ontario or send it to New York? I mean, I think there could be a reliability consideration as well. And these are all questions that I think policymakers, as they look at this project, they look at other projects, to look at the future of energy infrastructure in New England, that they need to consider.
And we know that price changes by the hour, too.
Exactly. I mean, if I was talking about the prices today, it's a pretty cool day. No one has their air conditioner on today. We're probably looking at, to get into jargon, LMPs, locational marginal prices throughout New England, probably $30. Let's see what they are Wednesday when it's 90 degrees and we all have our air conditioners, on. We're going to be looking at you know, $70, $80, $90 perhaps. So, I mean, it can change. So if it's a humid day, there's so many factors that could cause it to change.
And looking at this, even if everything went according to plan by Northeast Utilities, Hydro-Québec, and the like with the Northern Pass project, we're still looking at the strains against our local renewable energy and our local power plants as well throughout New England, right?
And we've heard some concerns about that as well. I mean, this line that would come down, it's not like those who want to develop renewables in the North Country, for instance, can, you know, tag into the line. They
right.
can't. So, I mean, that's a consideration as well. And again, those are policy issues, and I think policymakers have to weigh that. What do you want that future to look like? Do you want to be reliant upon this power, this out-of-region power? Do you want to be reliant upon part of it? Or do you want to have a more robust local resources and renewables? I mean, I think those are policy issues that this teases out.
Send the power into the power grid to feed it back up to Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The way that it would be rooted right now, looking at it. Well, Jim and Sandy, very interesting study. I've posted this on my website at briantilton.com on the Northern Pass page. I know you have it on your website as well.
Yes.
And what is that website?
It's www.NEPGA for New England Power Generators Association.org.
All right. So, again, thank you very much for joining us and for summarizing this very detailed and technical study.
And thanks for inviting us.
Okay. You're welcome. You take care. Jim, good to see you. All right.